and welcome to Minute 5 of Season 7 of Movie Raw Minute, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1995 Bruce Willis action film Die Hard with a Vengeance, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and join me once again today to finish off the inaugural week of this season is my good friend Jay Cluett of the Deep Blue Sea Pod. Welcome back to the show, Jay.
I'm back. I'm here. I'm four aspirins in. I think is the current count for John McClane in this film.
Well, keep counting.
Keep a tally. Yeah.
That's right. That's the way to do it.
These aren't going to be his last.
Probably not. So minute 5 begins with Cobb continuing to think and ends with John giving us a lesson in insurance fraud. So yesterday we ended things with basically yesterday's episode was almost entirely Cobb getting instructions from Simon as to his plan for this game, and Cobb had to just do what he could with the whole thing. And we ended things yesterday with the with a bunch of the policemen in some sort of new place. We're not sure yet what it is.
Looking at something they found on the bottom of their shoe.
Yeah, it could be. And we have a shot of Cobb just staring at him. And then Connie gives John a cup of coffee and some aspirin. And he goes, thanks. Give me some more. He wants more aspirin. What she's given him is never enough. But, I guess the coffee is good enough.
I mean, I don't think there's any alternative to the coffee. That's all they got. There's an alternative to two aspirins, which is
right.
Four aspirins.
I mean, I love how we see that Lambert throws for the aspirin box. They know that this is what he needs. You know, he puts it in his mouth however many, and then she gives him more. There's definitely more than four, counting all this together.
Two batches of two, I thought it was.
I don't know. The second one looked like she was giving him more.
Maybe. But why is Lambert throwing? Why can't Lambert provide the aspirin?
Because he's on the other side of where they are, I guess.
A fairly small van. Like, he can easily reach across and do this.
That's right.
Apparently, dishing out medical supplies is women's work in his mind.
I don't know. I don't know how to respond to that.
I'm just like Lambert, villain of the film. He's the Cavendish of Die Hard.
Is that what it is? You always have to try and find a Cavendish here. There isn't always a Cavendish in a movie.
Always a Cavendish.
You see, you could have talked about Revenge with Cavendish yesterday.
Yeah. Die Hard with a Cavendish.
Could be. Who knows? Was he still alive at this point? That actually makes me wonder that.
Shot during the Great Escape, Rob. You covered this film.
I covered it, but you know, there's always new things that happen. I mean, I don't know you since you probably don't watch TV shows or miniseries or anything like that. Did you see the recent series Masters of the Air?
I haven't seen it yet. Now it is finished. I am planning to.
At the time of recording,
I still haven't seen the Pacific.
At the time of recording, it just finished just a few days ago, and I mean I also waited to the end to watch it, and it was just great. So I'm not going to give you, we're going to end this conversation right now because I don't want to give away any spoilers to you about it. But I will tell you that there is no Cavendish there.
Nigel Stock passed away in 1986. So he could not have been in Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Unless it was his spirit.
Yeah. Sure.
His spirit.
Just haunting films, making things screw up.
There you go. It could be. It definitely could be. Cobb turns to him and goes, Jesus, John, you look like shit. And then he says, where did we leave off that roster? And then it's very strange because, like, I mean, we talked about it with the script. This is basically stuff from the script that was in an earlier minute. You know, at this point where they're giving us some of this information. And then, you know, we have a character behind Cobb that's Ricky Walsh, played by Anthony Peck. Are you familiar with Anthony Peck?
He's reprising his role as young cop in Die Hard.
That is correct. That's right. He's an actor who had only 30 IMDb credits. He was born on the 20th of March, 1947, and passed away on the 30th of July, 1996. So just a year after this movie came out, at the age of 49, he died of cancer.
Yeah, he was a McTiernan regular. He was also in Last Action Hero and Hunt for October.
Because he was in four McTiernan roles. This is you just mentioned all four. There you go.
I did.
His full name was Anthony Peccio, something like that. I don't even know how to specifically.
It's a Carmen Anthony Peccio.
Yeah, that's right, Carmen Anthony Peccio. So Anthony Peck makes sense. You know, I mean, we talked earlier in the week about Hunt for October, so you know he has a nice role there also. He plays the assistant to Scott Glenn's captain of the Dallas, right? I think that's the name of the. I know you wouldn't remember. We'll have to ask Simon. Yes, I think it was.
So in this, he's Ricky Walsh.
That's right.
I always find adults who have a very childish name. To be like going by Ricky, despite being an adult, I find that interesting. It's a choice.
It's a choice made by Jonathan Hensley.
I don't know who that is.
It's the writer.
Oh, I see. Okay, sure.
We talked about it on Monday.
Yes, I forgot the name already.
yes, it is somewhat forgettable.
Been a long week.
Yes, that it has. So Ricky then picks up a clipboard or whatever and starts reading off things. He goes, "Well, we got three killings in Red Hook the past two nights." And then Cobb goes, "Put Miner on it. And Jannetty. The mayor's office will call before the day's out. Next, 14 dump trucks stolen from a yard in Staten Island. 14. Jesus. Somebody start a construction company?" You know, I like the discrepancy here. You know, because here in the movie, we have 14 dump trucks. How many, do you remember how many there were in the script a few days ago?
I think it was less than 14, but I can't remember that exactly.
It was 10. 10.
10, okay.
Yeah. So, you know, because I think if I remember correctly, later on they talk about the math as to how, you know, how much gold each one of these dump trucks is able to carry. So maybe that's something there.
Speaking of discrepancies, his reaction to three killings in Red Hook is, Miner can do it. 14 dump trucks stolen. It's like, Jesus! It's so much more extreme that someone stole 14 vehicles than someone killed three people.
That's a good point. I mean,
It's New York. But
he's like, more homicides. We're used to those. But dump trucks? You know, maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's just the
news.
It's the shock that there's something happening.
Yes.
Out of the ordinary. You know, the killings in Red Hook is normal.
Dump truck stolen. No one died, though. No one died.
How is
that? Banner day for New York.
How is that possible? Right. So, I mean, he mentions Red Hook. There's some interesting people that were actually born in Red Hook that. You would be very interested to know about. So first of all, Al Capone was born there.
Sure.
Okay. Joe Gallo. Do you remember who that is?
Gallo.
We've talked about him numerous times. And I remember we talked about him when we did When Harry Met Sally.
Joe Gallo. The name is ringing a bell. I can't. Like, who is Joe Gallo? Please tell
he
me.
He was a gangster that was killed.
Yes. He's in the bloody Godfather TV show. That's right.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. He's in the Godfather TV show. He was in the Irishman. He was in the Irishman also. So yes, Joe Gallo was born in Red Hook. You have an actor named Michael Lerner that was born in Red Hook, who you would know from Barton Fink.
Yes, Barton Fink. He's the studio head, I think.
Right.
Yeah. It's great, I think.
That's right. The novelist Norman Mailer was born there. And then the actor Eli Wallach was born there in 1915.
I love Eli Wallach. Yes. That's recently covered on Deep Within the podcast for The Deep.
There you go. That's right. Season. Right. I mean, he passed away 10 years ago, but still, it's a great one there. And then the actress Michelle Williams was also born there. Oh, and okay. There is an actor that you are very familiar with, who was born in 1974, that was born
Can I guess? Is it Michael Rapaport?
No.
Okay. Because he feels like he's from the 70s. Is it a Deep Blue Sea actor?
No.
Is it a Con Air actor?
No. But it is one of Jay Clewitt's favorite actors.
Michael Shannon?
Yes.
Okay.
Michael Shannon was born in 1974 on what day?
August the 7th.
That's right. August 7th.
13 years before the world changed forever. That's when I was born.
That's right. Michael Shannon's life was changed 13 years later on that day.
His life has yet to be changed by my existence. And will not be. I doubt our paths will ever cross.
You never know. You never know. Sure. Maybe there's some sort of forum, you know, for people born on the same day.
What needs to happen is he appears in Deep Blue Sea 4 and then I interview him because of that. That's what needs to happen.
Okay, so you got to get moving on that one.
Sure. I have no power to do this, but sure.
Exactly. So, yeah, when I saw that, I was like, okay, this is something I gotta test Jay on.
I always thought he was a Chicago guy. Apparently not.
Maybe he moved. Anything's possible. It's possible that he was 1 year old. And when he was one, they moved to Chicago. That is possible.
Maybe.
But he was born here. So.
Well, I was two. We moved from Totten to West Totten.
There you go. There you go. That actually sounds like something from Mary Poppins. You know, I don't know.
Sure.
Coming from Totten to West Totten. I don't know. Right, so Cobb gets very, very ecstatic about the fact that there are 14 dump trucks that were stolen, and he says, well, someone's starting a construction company, and then we get one of Lambert's famous one-liners that you love, and he goes, nah, it was John's landlady going to clean his apartment.
Now, does this imply that John has 14 dump trucks worth of stuff? Are we setting up that he is a hoarder?
We're setting up that he is a mess.
Surely one would be plenty. I get. He's trying to make a joke. He's trying to be the funny guy. Whatever.
Right. Well, what do you expect?
Some goddamn respect.
Okay.
For the situation.
I can understand that. That does make sense. John interjects and goes, insurance fraud. And he goes, that's a priority out in California. The contractor splits the money with the thieves. We had that out in Jersey a couple of years ago. Joe, remember? So, I mean, it's nice the way that they let John in on this conversation, you know, that he's basically up until now just, a fly on the wall type of thing. Because the only thing he said up until now in the movie is that he wants, more aspirin. That's it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, don't even talk to him until he's had his coffee. He's not been able to, join. He needs to wake up. We don't know. All we know is he's in a terrible state of, he's we can assume he is hungover. He looks incredibly hungover. So we don't know how much sleep he's had, if any. This could be like the result of an all-night binge, and he's come straight from a bar. He could have the state he's in is abysmal, and I feel very sorry for him. This is why I put this film high up in my Bruce Willis performance rankings in the Die Hard 2 season, just because he's great in Die Hard. It's fantastic in it, but here he's got to be hungover the whole time, and that's an added wrinkle to his acting.
Right. And he still does a great job with it.
He does. He does. Now, I know you're not much of a drinker. I do have a drink now and then, but I've never had a hangover. I've managed to avoid that because I never drink to get drunk. So I don't know quite how bad he must be feeling. But he makes a great job of conveying it ain't fun.
Correct.
across to us all. So,
right. Yeah. I mean, next week, maybe we'll talk a little bit more about that. Who knows? Yeah. Sure. It is possible. And I mean, it's great the way that John is basically explaining everything here about the, you know, it shows that even if he is hungover right now and that he's not in the best of circumstances, he still is on top of things. You know, he still knows how to be the best cop that he can be in order to try and stop something that's going on and stuff like that.
He's got that cynical cop brain always whirring. And so the expression from Cobb at the end, where he's still looking at John, I can't tell if he's like, there's a little bit of a smile, there's a little bit of a crinkle to the eyes going. I don't know if it is still just kind of disappointment and unhappiness, or if there's a little like wry, like, he's got it. Like, we're stuck with him, but this could be worse. He's on top of things. Yes, look at him, but this could be worse. You know, if Lambert were in this position, we'd be hopeless.
Yeah, it's probably true. Now, I wonder, why is John sitting on the floor of this van as opposed to everyone else seems to be, on some sort of bench or something like that?
My guess is he crawled into the van.
They used a dump truck to pile him in.
But they poured him in, and they poured him out of a bottle into this human shape on the floor.
I think you do have something there with the final second of this minute where we see Cobb smiling, because I think he sees what I just mentioned about the fact that John is still he's drunk, he's at the lowest of the low, but he still knows what's going on. You know, he's still on the ball when it comes to the work. So I'm not going to go into the whole what exactly insurance fraud is, but there's basically two types of claims that people can make, you know, as a false insurance claims. So one is that you have a legitimate claim that is exaggerated or built up in order to try and get more money out of the claim. And then the other one is it's a false claim where the damages never actually happened. Right. So, I mean, the general idea here is that, you know, someone steals something that belongs to themselves, and then they claim it's been stolen, and then they get money back for it. You know, that's the basic idea here. So I like the way they did this.
Yeah. I like that, you know, we talked about this setting up the dump trucks as being something that happens later in the film. The three killings in Red Hook, that doesn't come back, does it? That's just mentioned here as like New York. It's correct. A terrible place. So I don't know if they could have mentioned.
Well, as we talked, from the script, there are a lot of other things that happen that they're constantly giving out, you know, the jobs to different people and stuff like that.
Yeah, I guess it's a busy city. Not everything needs to be tied together.
That's right.
Yeah, no.
But
I guess that's kind of the point where they're the whole point of this is they're making one big crime to distract from another. Because there's so many crimes going on. They can't all be connected. That's the whole point of the film.
But some are. That's the idea here.
They're using the terribleness of the city to their advantage.
Yes. Okay, so that's all I have for this minute. Do you have anything else for this minute?
I don't. I think that's
okay. So from the script's perspective, there is nothing new here because this whole scene in the van doesn't take place.
Right.
Not at all. You know, it's not in the script because some of the stuff, as we talked about, happens earlier in the script in the bullpen itself. And I mean, the next scene in the script will be, you know, John standing in on the street in Harlem.
Yes.
So, you know, we'll have to do that. So there's nothing from the script. So now we are up to Friday's segment, which is a new segment that I'm doing this season, which is called Name That Movie.
And God with a Vengeance.
So the premise of this segment is the fact that Die Hard with a Vengeance was originally called Simon Says. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you and each of the coming guests over the next 26 weeks five names of movies, but these are the original names. Some of them could have been fake names. You know, sometimes during production, they use fake names and stuff like that. And, you know, I'll tell you the name, the original name of the movie plus the year it came out. And then you'll see if you can try and guess what movie it is. If you want, I can give you more hints each time. I can give you the hint of, you know, who the director is, or possibly who the main actor is, if you want those, that information. Okay?
Okay.
So the first one for you, Jay, is a movie that came out in 1985, whose original title was Library Revolution.
1985, Library Revolution. I'm not sure if it's the right year. Real Genius?
No.
Okay. Can I have a clue?
Yeah, sure. Which one would you like? Would you like the director or the main actor? Or one of the actors? It could be.
I'll go for one of the actors, please.
Okay. Molly Ringwald.
Oh, it's Breakfast Club?
Yes, very good.
Oh, yeah, because is it? They are in a library, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Yeah, there's more tables than I'm used to in a library in that film. It always looked more like a kind of cafeteria with shelves.
Okay.
For sure.
Okay. That's great. Very good.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. The second one is a movie that came out in 1997 called Planet Ice.
Planet Ice? 97? That would be a bad title for Con Air. I don't think it's Con Air. It'd be an interesting title for Titanic. Sure. Titanic?
You would be correct.
Okay.
I like the way that went. Yes, that was – no, it wasn't a fake title. From what I read, it was something that they were originally planning on using. It could be a fake title. I don't know.
Whoever decided to change that was the greatest decision in filmmaking history ever, to not call Titanic Planet Ice.
I think Titanic works. You know, I don't think you need, Planet Ice.
Planet Ice is establishing such a different film.
Yes, it makes it sound like a sci-fi. It makes Armageddon it sound like Waterworld.
Than it is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The day after tomorrow, I guess, it would be Planet Ice.
That could be that. That is true. That is correct. Okay, here's another one for you, Jay. From 2001. 10 Things I Hate About Clueless Road Trips When I Can't Hardly Wait to Be Kissed.
Not another teen movie.
That is correct. Very good.
I know, as to date, the only film I've ever watched once, then immediately put back in the DVD and watched again.
I know. I remembered that you liked it, so that's why I used it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Haven't seen it in well over a decade.
Okay. Maybe it's time for you to revisit.
Maybe. I think I'm good.
Okay. Number four, Pacific Air Flight 121 from 2006.
Snakes on a Plane?
Very good, Jay. Wow, oh, yeah. I'm impressed. All right, and the final one, this is actually a fake title, okay, from 2015, Ebb Tide.
For what year, sorry?
2015.
Ebb Tide?
Yes.
E-double-B?
Tide.
T-I-D-E, Tide. Ebb Tide, 2015. The only 2015 film I can think of is The Martian. It's not The Martian.
No.
There's no water in The Martian. Ebb Tide. Captain Phillips?
No, that was 2013.
I can't think of... So I'm guessing it's like a water-based film of some kind. There's water in it somewhere. Ebb Tide, 20... The Shallows? Is that 2015?
No.
Can I have a clue, please? Can I have one of the actors?
Bryce Dallas Howard.
Jurassic World?
Yep.
No. That has nothing to do with it.
Well, no, it's a fake title. The fake titles are generally, what they use so that people won't notice that they're, you know, doing that they're making a blockbuster.
Yeah, Blue Harvest. Yeah.
Oops. I'm not going to comment on that because that might come up later on sometime in the future. who knows? Okay, well, thank you very much for doing that. I hope you enjoyed the guessing game, Jay.
I did. I enjoy games where I win things. You win my
admiration. That's what you win.
That's all I've ever wanted.
That you got three out of five without any hints. That's pretty good.
Right.
Very impressive. Very impressive.
I need to mention the intro song you have for this series, because we talked about it a little bit prior to recording.
Yes, please.
Like weeks ago. and I just want to clarify things. So the song is, it's you know, David Brooke has recorded it, and are you using the one with the version with lyrics or without lyrics?
I will be using one at the beginning and one at the end.
Okay, so the version that Rob is using with lyrics is wrong, because the lyrics are wrong. It's the wrong lyrics, and I need this to be known. This isn't a song about the American Civil War or something. This is a song about Noah's Ark. I know this. Everyone in England knows this. David Brooke knows this. I have contacted David and confirmed the song you're using. It's the animals go and went in 2x2. The elephant and the kangaroo. Hurrah, hurrah.
And he's agreed that's the correct.
Yes, he has. I have checked with generations. I've checked with my parents. I've checked with people I work with. Everyone I've come across, I've played them this song. I've played them the version without lyrics. Like, do you recognize this? And I go, da, 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 2x2. Yeah, everyone knows it as the Noah's Ark song. I don't know if it's a British thing or if it's a Christian thing or whatever. But that's watching this film, I'd always assumed that that's the song because that's the song. That's what the tune is.
But maybe it's an American thing because Johnny Come Marching Home was from, I believe, World War I, or maybe the war. I don't remember which of them it is.
When I heard the version with lyrics that you sent me, hey, this is the theme tune, I was just confused and confounded as to what I was listening to. Not just because it's a guy from Lincoln doing an American accent singing this wrong song, which David did a good job with the accent. No disrespect to that. It was just like, what am I listening to right now? These words.
Well, wait a second. You've never seen Starlink 17?
No.
Ah, okay. Because we've discussed that in the past. I thought you had seen it.
I haven't. It's on my list.
Okay, because that movie,
we discussed
that movie has it also. Yes.
Well, it's wrong there too.
I guess possibly.
That's all I had to say about that. I just wanted to make that clear. And I feel like you should poll every guest that you have. Let's get some definitive.
Well, I have a feeling that it's going to be based on where the person grew up.
That's what we need to clarify. I think no one who isn't English. Could be a skewed data set. Anyway, so that's why I just had to make that clear. I love this film. I'm looking forward to listening to the entire rest of the series. Listeners, you can find me. My personal site is lifeversusfilm.com. My podcast that is active is Deep Blue Sea, the podcast, which you can follow on all social media at Deep Blue Sea Pod. If you have an aquatic-based film you think we should cover, then email me at deepblueseapod@gmail.com. My personal Twitter is at LifeVSFilm, Life vs. Film. My Instagram is at JAYCLUITT, where you can see pictures of my dogs and waterfalls, and sometimes my dogs near waterfalls. And that's about it. And I'll be back here in 25 weeks' time to talk about the final minute of this film.
All right, great. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Move Rob Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. You can find my website, moverobminute.com. You can also find me now on Instagram. And my email address, for anyone who's interested in getting in touch, is moverobminute@moverob.net. So, Jay, thank you very much for joining me this week. It's always fun having you on the first week. You know, it sets the tone for the rest of the season.
I'm always happy to be here. I always enjoy talking about these films, especially when I enjoy the films.
Well, I haven't chosen any yet that you haven't, so, you know, we're good so far.
This is true. We'll see how it goes.
We'll see what I decide for season 8. You know,
see if you decide to stand by me or not.
I don't know. Maybe. I might. All right, so I will be back on Monday with a new guest, but until then, yippee-ki-yay!
Yippee-ki-yay!
Johnny comes marching home again, hurrah, hurrah! We'll give him a hearty welcome then, hurrah, hurrah! The men will cheer, the boys will shout, the ladies, they will all turn out, and we'll all feel glad when Johnny comes marching home.